Assalamu alaikum. This is Your Health is Your Wealth with your host, Rashad Sunni El Amin. I am a holistic educator and teacher and also a naturopath. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And I want to first thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me to spot every Thursday at 6 o'clock. And, you know, he has his program, Religion Means Alive, 6 days a week. So, again, I thank him for allowing me this day to share with you knowledge about health, holistic medicine, disease, and all these type of things. So I want to thank you for listening, and I want to ask you all to get your pen, your pads ready, because we always share a wealth of information, and you should take notes, because there's something here you may be able to use. And also to share with your friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, whomever, so that they may also have this knowledge available. So today, my brothers and sisters, a couple topics. Now, I know many who are listening are Muslims, and I know we know that Muslims don't eat pork. And I know there's Christians listening out there and other non-Muslims. And I just want to share information today about pork. The reason I'm saying this is because people ask, well, why is it that Muslims don't eat pork? And then the other thing is that Christians I've met say it's all right to eat pork. There's nothing wrong with it, that their preachers tell them it's okay to eat pork. So I have some information here. It's a question-answer form right here that I'm going to use. And I hope you all can appreciate this, because we all need to know this. I love my Christian brothers and sisters. I want them to know about pork. My Muslim brothers and sisters, we already know about pork. But then you have others who still don't know about pork. Jews know not to eat pork. Seventh-day Adventists who are Christians are not supposed to eat pork. Jehovah Witnesses supposedly not supposed not to eat pork, but many of them do. But there's other groups that do not partake of pork. So let's do this question-answer program here. I will do the questions and answers. And I got this information, which was written a while back, but it's very potent, and you're going to be able to take and share with your friends this information. You, of course, like I said, have a pen and pad handy so that you can take this information down. Okay. Let's start with the question, what is the teaching in Al-Islam about pork? And the answer would be pig is absolutely unclean, and eating its meat and fat as well as using its skin or any part is strictly forbidden. Allah has said in various places in the Holy Quran, and I read from the Quran, I quote you, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, forbidden to you for food are dead meat, blood, and the flesh of swine. Surely God speaks the truth. So this is from the Quran, Surah 5, that's chapter 5, Ayat 3, verse 3. So all who would like to read that, you go to the Quran and read that. Then the next question is, and this is a Christian person saying this, I, being a Christian, have no difficulty in eating pork. I often wonder why Muslims have not been allowed to enjoy this tasty food as we Christians do. Okay, well, that's the question. So the answer, the response would be, this question is somewhat strange because, according to the scriptures, even the Christians are not allowed to eat pork. Okay? Well, what do you mean they're not allowed to eat pork? Well, let's go on. How can you say this? Well, let us see what the Bible says about pork and swine. It said it is unclean to you. Of the flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. This is in the chapter Leviticus, the 11th chapter, verses 7 and 8. So the same command is repeated in also the chapter in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 8. Now, there's a Reverend W.K. Lawster Clark, says in his concise Bible commentary, commenting upon these passages, the laws were inculcated and obeyed because they embodied God's will. Did you hear that? He said, the laws were inculcated and obeyed because they embodied God's will. Did you hear that? Okay. And there was another person, Dr. E.A. Widmer, quotes in his article, Pork, Man, and Disease, Good Health, Volume 1, he says, and I quote, pork, although one of the most common articles of diet, is one of the most injurious. God did not prohibit the Hebrews from eating swine's flesh merely to show his authority, but because it was not a proper article of food for man. Makes sense, right? Then the question goes, well, these revelations are very interesting. Can you please give me some more references on the subject from Christians' writings? And the answer would be yes. You may see the discourse under the word swine in the Westminster Dictionary of the Bible, which is very clear. And here's an extract from it, brothers and sisters. It says, the swine was a ceremonially unclean animal. It is dirty, does not refuse to eat offal and carrion. Offal is O-F-F-A-L, and carrion. And the use of its flesh for food in hot countries is supposed to produce cutaneous disease. It was not raised by Arabs and was regarded as unclean by Phoenicians, Ethiopians, and Egyptians. To the Jews, swine's flesh was abominable. The pig was the emblem of filth and coarseness. Yet pork found entrance to the idolatrous feast of degenerate Hebrews, which if you read Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 4, and 66, verse 17. In the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, the command to a Jew to offer or to taste swine's flesh was used as a means of determining whether he was loyal to the religion of his fathers or was willing to accept the worship favored by his conquerors. Now, but many Jews affected Grecian manners, and John Hyrcanus found it advisable to issue an edict that no one should keep swine. In the time of Christ, one large herd of swine at least was pastured in the Decapolis. Now, you would see this in Mark chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And Decapolis is a region colonized by Greeks, among whom the swine was highly esteemed as an article of food. There is no reason to suppose that Jews owned either these swine or those in the far country fed by the prodigal son, which you see read in Luke 15:15. Now, similar statements may be found in almost all Bible dictionaries. Okay? So this is something you may want to read so that you can see for yourself that I'm not just making this up. It's right there in the books. You see it right there in scriptures. Okay? Now, another question. I have just observed that all these quotations are from the Old Testament. They are binding upon the Jew. But we, the Christians, would like to know what was the teaching of Jesus Christ on this subject. And the answer, well, I was coming to that point. You see, whatever the teaching of Old Testament, the same was the teaching of Jesus Christ. He says in clear words that the laws of the Old Testament were to be obeyed without any change. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now this is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Now I'm just giving you scripture here. So my Christian brothers and sisters, don't think I'm being biased because I'm a Muslim. I'm just giving you what your scripture says. Okay? Now, the man says, sometimes I wonder why Christ stressed this point in so many words. And the answer is, it was because he knew that after his ascension, some of his followers would denounce the law. Jesus Christ himself obeyed the law faithfully. It was only after his departure from the world that St. Paul, a forceful orator and a member of elite circle of the society who took to heart the Greek advanced civilization, as many people nowadays take pride in being westernized, prevailed upon the illiterate and simple-minded Christians to abandon the law. The fact that he himself had never met Jesus Christ and those who opposed him were not constant companions of Christ is most revealing. And Jesus Christ corrected the Pharisees' misinterpretation of the law. For example, his disciples in their hunger plucked the ears of corn on Sabbath day. When the Pharisees objected, Jesus Christ replied, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's in Mark 2:27. But he never said anything against the law, including the dietary laws. And Paul, on the other hand, denounced the law, saying that the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. And that's in Romans 4:15. So this logic seems to be very convincing, brothers and sisters. Now, so if you really are convinced of this reasoning, then you should see it that all legislatures are abolished and all courts are closed. Thus, there would be no criminals because there would be no law to transgress. So the question is, I don't think any Christian government would be pleased with this suggestion. Let us forget it. But tell me how Paul abrogated the law. And the answer is, he claimed that I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And that's in Romans chapter 14, verse 14. So the question is, well, I think it settles the matter nicely. And the answer is, no, On the contrary, it creates more problems than it solves. You see? If that is what Jesus Christ had intended to be, the tenet of Christianity, why did he not declare so when he was with his disciples in the world, in this world? Why did he advocate the theory of unchangeability of Mosaic law? Did Paul want the people to believe that Jesus Christ was not sincere in his pronouncements when he was with the people? So we Muslims cannot believe it. As for the Christians, action speaks louder than words. Now, question. I must admit that you have got a very strong point here. I now agree that according to the original Christianity, pork was and will remain forbidden. But this man says, frankly speaking, I do not find anything wrong with pork. And the response is, I hope that you are not one of those who think that aping the Western culture is a proof of enlightenment. Indirecting the dietary principles of the children of Israel and thereafter of the Muslims, God meant these rules to be a source of continued benefit to mankind. The transfer of certain disease, as modern medical research has substantiated, would be adequate justification for this ancient law. Now, we all know that pork is a diseased animal, and pork will actually create disease in the human body. We know that. You see? This is scientific facts. Why do you think a lot of you who have heart problems and other problems, when you go to your doctor, he tells you, lay off the pork? Huh? Why does he say lay off the pork? He didn't say lay off the beef. He didn't say lay off the lamb, even though red meat is not really good for you. He told you, lay off the pork. You see? Yes. Now, question. But this transfer of diseases is not the unique feature of pork. He says even beef and mutton contain some germs of disease. And the response is, well, why limit your argument to beef and mutton? We know that even vegetables contain infectious germs. But the fact remains that pork reigns supreme in the greater content of germs among all meats that are known to human beings. The more we read about it, the more we dread it. And then the question is, can you name some of those germs to which you have just referred? And his response is, the following list shows germs or parasites that are found in pork. And it should be mainly dealing with parasites because the pig, brothers and sisters, has a lot of parasites. But anyway, his response, says, many of them are contagious. Others are fatal. Did you hear that? Fatal. That means death. And this proves once more that the more science advances, the more Islam is proved to be correct in so many respects. Now, the present-day science of parasitology lists a protozoan ciliate, the pork tapeworm, the T. richina roundworm, as causing important diseases that the pig shares with man. So the man says, yes, well, I don't understand these Latin words. Please explain them in simple language. This is a conversation that these two are having. So his answer, his response is, in fact, I had not used their full Latin names. For example, protozoan ciliate is called by the doctors Balanitidium coli. It is a parasite harboring in the large intestine and is the largest protozoan affecting man. So the man asks, what has this Balanitidium coli to do with pigs and how does it affect human beings? The man responds, saying it is normal inhabitant of the pig's bowels. This is a normal inhabitant of the pig's bowels. It is excreted by its feces and finding the external environment unsuitable for itself, develops a shell around it, which is called a cyst. Now, you all know what a cyst is, a little lump. The cyst contains living parasites that communicate with man's diet and thus enter his bowels. And this was found by Dr. Malmsten in 1857 and a Dr. Stein in 1862. That's going way back, brothers and sisters. Huh? Yeah. The cyst contains living parasites that communicates with man's diet and thus enters his bowels. And then Dr. E.A. Widmer writes in his article, Pork, Man, and Disease. He says the protozoan ciliate, known technically as Balanitidium coli, is extremely common in swine. Recent surveys in various countries reveal an incidence range of 21 to 100%. This organism is much less common in man. The general incidence of 1% reported in Puerto Rico is representative of the incidence in many countries. When found in man, serious clinical symptoms may result. Current evidence points strongly to the pig as the chief source of human infection. Did you hear that? The chief source of human infection. So the man asked the question, and what are those serious clinical symptoms which are caused by the germ? I would say parasite. They use germs. The man responds, it creates incurable dysentery. Dysentery is a disease very familiar to the public. The symptoms of this disease are horribly acute, and the disease may be fatal. Unfortunately, there is no specific cure for dysentery caused by Balanitidium coli to date. According to Dr. Chandler, in his book, Animal Parasites and Human Disease, it is only in pig raising countries where there is too close an association between man and this animal that this disease is common. Oh, pig-raising countries. America is a pig-raising country. Do you hear that? And you know that because you see pigs all over the place on these farms. Yes, I know. Listen, I was on a farm twice in my life as a youngster. And they had pigs. Those were some ugly creatures. I did not like those pigs. They sounded nasty. They were nasty, all in the mud. They're pooping everywhere, eat anything. They were just horrible. I was glad I was turned off from pork at a young age when I was a teenager. Just looking at that mess turned me off. You see? So now here, the gentleman asks, well, what are the other germs which are transferred from pig to man? The answer, there are many more. For example, there's Trichinella spiralis, or the trichinae worm. I'm sure many of you have read about the trichinae worms. Dr. Glenn Shepherd wrote an article on the dangers of eating pork in the May 31st, 1952 issue of the Washington Post. And now the following extracts are taken from that article. Here's a man that wrote this In 1952, in the Washington Post, he said, and I quote, one in six people in the United States of America and Canada have worms in their muscles. Trichinosis from eating pork infected with trichnea or trichinella. Many people so infected have no symptoms. Most of those who do have recover slowly. Some die. Some are reduced to permanent invalids. All were careless pork eaters, he continued. No one is immune from this disease, and there is no cure. Neither antibiotics, nor drugs, nor vaccines affect this tiny, deadly worm. Preventing infection is the real answer. Fully grown trichnea worms are about 1/8 of an inch long and about 1/400 of an inch broad. They remain alive for about 40 years, curled up in lemon-shaped, invisible, tiny capsules between muscle fibers. When you eat infected meat, these dormant worm capsules are digested by their live contents, grow into full-size worms, each of which has about 1,500 offsprings. They get into your blood 1 to 3 weeks after you eat their parents. Because many organs can be invaded by the worms, symptoms can resemble those of 50 other diseases, and this makes diagnosis difficult. Did you hear that? Now, I remember I watched a little skit on YouTube. It was a lady, Puerto Rican lady, went to the doctor. And she felt some pain in the head. So they did some diagnosis and x-rays, and they saw a lump in her brain. So they said, oh, you got a tumor. He said, I got a tumor? I said, yeah, you got a tumor in your brain. We have to get rid of it. We have to operate. So they set a date for the operation. And they opened her up. And when they go to remove the tumor was moving. And they were like, this thing is moving. Come to find out it wasn't a tumor. It was a trichnea worm in her brain. It was moving. So they took it out and told the lady it's a parasite from pork. And she was shocked. So she said, I guess I better cook my pork a little better. I said, you must be out of your head to even want to eat pork again. I said, my God, some people will never learn. But I remember, now bear with me on this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said way back in the day when he was alive, he wrote the book How to Eat to Live. He said that you will find the trichnea worm in your brain if you're a pork eater. Science laughed at him and said, oh, there's no way, there's no such thing. But when this thing showed up on YouTube, that clarified it. He was telling the truth. And I guess those who doubted him had to become believers. But anyway, I just had to share that with you. Now, so this gentleman asked another question. I would like to know more about this disease-carrying germ. So this Dr. Widmer writes in the article, Pork Man and Disease, mentioned earlier, he says that the trichnea worm is essentially limited to Central Europe and those parts of temperate America to which its emigrants have gone. You hear that? Central Europe and temperate America. So, in comparison with the ciliate and the pork tapeworm, the trichny worm produces the most serious effects in the human body. The adults are present in the small intestine of man. After mating, the females produce larvae, which enter the blood vessels for distribution to all parts of the body. So these migrating larvae may invade skeletal muscles, brain, bone marrow, the retina in your eye, and the lungs. Since each female worm can produce more than 1,500 larvae, and since these immature worms invade many organs of the body, many clinical symptoms may appear. In heavy infections, death may take place in the second or third week, but more often it occurs in the fourth to sixth week after exposure. Any recovery predictions vary with the location and number of larvae trichny, severity of symptoms, and the physical condition of the patient. Now comes an interesting observation, brothers and sisters. Trichinosis, the disease caused by the trichny worms, breaks out like epidemics, and its relation with pigs, like that of plague with rats, was known to people thousands of years ago. Those who do not believe in divine origin of Mosaic and Islamic laws say that it was because of this epidemic that these religions prohibited pork. That's what they said now. The same article, Pork, Man, and Disease, says it is generally assumed that presence of trichny worms in pigs was the basis for the prohibition of their use for food by the Jewish people. In his book, A History of Parasitology, W.D. Foster, this was written in 1965, brothers and sisters, emphasizes this viewpoint when he writes, the Mosaic and Muhammad, he says Mohammedan prohibitions, or we should be Islamic, but that was his way of saying it. The Mosaic and Mohammedan prohibitions on the eating of pork are far more likely to have been to the observation of outbreaks of trichinosis than any other recognition of an association with tapeworm infestation. The association of the disease with the eating of pork would be well within the capacity of primitive peoples. Indeed, what is surprising is that this association was lost sight of by the world at large. Although the conditions cannot have been uncommon, and looking back, we can recognize epidemics, which are almost certainly trichinosis, end of quote. That's what this Dr. Foster says in that book. Now, man asked the question, what is the use of talking about epidemics of long ago? Surely with advance in medical science, such diseases must have been eradicated from the face of the earth. The response is, unfortunately, this is not the case. The same article says outbreaks of trichinosis are still common in the United States. Between March 9th and March 25th of 1968, four of seven family members in Willoughby, Ohio, developed symptoms of trichinosis. The family had purchased sausage from a local packing company, and after soaking it in oil for several days, ate it raw. Now, I think that was crazy. In May 1968, a family of eight in New Berlin, Wisconsin, became ill with a flu-like disease. Later evidence was obtained that permitted a diagnosis of trichinosis to be made. All of the individuals ate raw beef hamburger sandwiches, it is assumed. So the man asked the question, if it was caused by beef, why should pork be singled out for blame? The response, The man says, "Don't be hasty, my friend. Let me finish the report." He goes on to say, "It is assumed that these beef hamburgers were contaminated with infected pork, since cattle do not harbor the trichiny worm," said the CDC Veterinary Public Health Note of February 1969. "The hamburger meat was bought at a local market that had a single grinder for pork and beef." Okay? Yeah, you grind pork in a grinder, and then after that you grind beef in there, and using the same grinder, what do you expect to happen? Of course it's going to be contaminated, brothers and sisters. You see? You can't mix the two. It doesn't make sense. You're only creating a bigger problem. Excuse me, because I'm checking my brown rice. I just walked into the kitchen. I want to make sure my rice is done. I don't want to overcook it or burn it. So I love brown rice, brothers and sisters. I think it's excellent food. And those of you who eat rice, you consider eating brown rice as opposed to white rice. Because white rice is nothing but starch. You hear that? Nothing but starch. So, if you're eating starch, and here all the nutrients are gone, what's it going to do? It's going to create a problem. One of the main problems it creates is diabetes. So I just wanted to share that note with you while I was cooking my brown rice. Okay? Very good. Let's get back to the Piggy Wiggy and his worms. Let's see what else they say. I think it's a pretty interesting report. Okay. And then he says, and here's the third report. In December 1969, trichinosis was diagnosed in 76 persons in Washington, Missouri. Anybody out there from Washington, Missouri? This outbreak was attributed to eating locally manufactured pork, which was not processed adequately to destroy the infective larvae. Larva, okay? Now, man asked this question. Well, this last report presents the problem in its true perspective. The infection was caused because the pork was not processed adequately. But with modern scientific methods, all bacteria can be destroyed. The man's response is, it is a delusion and nothing more. Dr. Shepherd writes, ordinary meds of salting and smoking do not kill these worms. Nor can government inspection of meat at packing houses or abattoirs identify all infected pork. Dr. Widner says it is significant to note that from the time of God's command to the children of Israel unto this decade, medical science has had no cure for patients with trichinosis. Treatment consists of alleviation of the symptoms caused by the worms rather than their destruction of the worms. So after reading these statements, Dr. Shepherd and Dr. Widmer, we can presume that there is no guarantee of immunity when eating pork, which is affected by the trichinella worm. To take pork, then, is an extremely risky gamble with one's health or life at stake. Did you hear that? I'm speaking to you pork eaters, okay? I'm speaking to those who like to eat pork. This is very important because it's affecting you in many ways. Some of you don't want to hear it, but it's okay. Let's finish. Now, But man, ask a question. You said in the beginning that pork reigns supreme in the greater contents of germs among all meats known to human beings. I would like to have a detailed list of those germs or parasites. So the man responds, in addition to the bacteria and worms described, pork is the main carrier of the following germs and parasites. What are they? Tapeworms. Yes, tapeworms, roundworms, worms, Bacillopsis busti, Paragonimus, Phononotis sinensis, and this last one is a real hard one. I hope I can pronounce this one for you. It's Erysipelothrix russellifacia. That's a long one. But these are the seven. So the man asked the question, will you please explain their relation with pork? The man responds, let us begin with tapeworm. Tapeworm is called Taenia solium in Latin. Pork is one of the main sources of this infection. The incidence of human infection with the pork tapeworm varies throughout the world and is now a classic report. This Wormy World, published in 1947, Mr. Stowe estimated that 2.5 million persons throughout the world were infected with this organism. This is 1947 that this man said this. So the man responds, what about the roundworm? His response is, it is a parasite. Listen to this, 6 to 12 inches long. Whoa, that's pretty long, brothers and sisters. Sound like a snake. 6 to 12 inches long, which is also called a traveling worm because it goes into various organs of the human body. Dr. Ramson mentioned in the Stills Parasitology that these parasites of men are identical with those found in pigs. They belong to the same species. It means that the worm, which is found in pork, is quite easily transferred to human beings where it does a lot of damage. Listen to this now. The same treatment is found in the Encyclopedia Britannica under roundworm. See? It's not something I'm making up. Yes. So he asked the question, well, what about the hookworm? The man responds, the young worms of this disease enter the human skin by piercing the skin or through any wound. Pigs eat up human excrete, you know what that is, containing eggs of the parasites which develop inside them and they hatch into young worms. When these are passed out, they are infectious to man. And this infection is very much prevalent in various tropical country. And the Encyclopedia Britannica says, it writes under hookworm, hookworm is a parasitic roundworm, two parasites, Enceostoma duodenale and Nescata americanus cause hookworm disease, is what the Encyclopedia Britannica, right? It says that hookworm disease is a scourge of tropical climates resulting in a debilitated anemic population. Anemia in hookworm disease results from sucking of blood by the adult worms in the intestine and the attendant inflammation of the bowel. A single A duodenally can remove on the average almost 1 cubic centimeter of blood a day. Just one little hookworm. As a bloodsucker, N. americanus is about 1/5 as efficient. In general, the symptoms of classical heavy infections include pallor of skin and mucous membranes, fluid retention in the face and extremities, constipation alternating with diarrhea, abdominal tenderness, increased appetite for bulky foods or unusual substances, clay eaters, sexual derangement, delayed puberty, impotence, irregular menstruation, endocrine insufficiency, stunted growth, cardiac weakness, palpitation, hypersensitivities of the skin to cold, physical debility, fatigue, dullness, apathy, and melancholia. Did you hear that? Yes. I mean, are you ready to stop eating the pig? Brothers and sisters who are eating pig, take heed, please. This is a serious problem. A very serious problem. Okay, let's continue. I know some of you are saying, this stuff is disgusting. Well, that should turn you off. Right? I don't want to hear that no more. Why? Do you not like truth? We should all take heed to the truth. How about this other worm called Bacillopsis fusci? The man says, these parasites were discovered by Lancaster and in 1857 and a gentleman by the name of Oliver in 1902. These parasites remain latent for a good time in the pig's small intestines. Oh, uh-oh. The parasite on leaving the pig infects the water snail, which in turn infects man. It is widely prevalent in China. Which of y'all out there like to eat those intestines? Those chitlins. Yes, gotta have those. Doesn't that stuff stink? First of all, how the heck? The first time I smelt that stuff, it was so foul. I said, there's no way in hell I'm going to eat that. Now I've seen people throwing down on that stuff. I said, no way. Tasted as good. I said, anything that smells that bad is not good. It can't even be good for you. You see, I'm glad I never ate that stuff. I might be infected with that stuff now. Thank God. When I was younger, I stopped eating meat at a young age. But before I became Muslim, of course, my parents had ignorance. They cooked some pork. I think the pork I had at that time was ham and pork chops. And it wasn't, everyday thing. But I ate it because that's what they served. But when I found out about it at a young age, because of a Muslim brother educating me on that, I had to give that up. No way in the world I'm going to eat that stuff anymore. So I thank God I stopped at an early age. But I was never a heavy pig eater anyway back in the day when I was younger. I just wasn't. I didn't really care for meat that much. But I would eat it because everybody else was eating it. They said, it's good for you. Yeah, well, so they thought. Anyway. All right. Now, how about this other parasite? Paragonimus. Now, the man says this parasite lives in the lungs of pigs. It was discovered by Dr. Mason in 1880. 1880, brothers and sisters. That's 134 years ago. He said it is a common parasite which causes pneumonia in pigs. And there's still no way of killing the parasite in the tissues, neither has anyone found a method of expelling them. You think about that, brothers and sisters. Think about that. Huh? In the lungs of the pig. Wow. Do you think it could be airborne? No, it just lives in the lungs. So, now the man asks, how about this other parasite called Phonorchis sinensis, I'm sorry. The man says, this parasite was discovered by Mr. Cobbold in 1875 and a Mr. Luce in 1907. It said, Phonorchis sinensis is a sucking worm. Now, sucking worm, a kind of parasite which inhabits the bile passage of pig's liver, which is a source of these parasites infecting people in close contact with pigs. The occurrence of the disease in China, in Formosa, Japan, Korea, and southern India and Vietnam again points to the close association with pigs. These parasites, this parasite creates many serious diseases of the liver and the chest in human beings. Did you hear that? In the liver and chest of human beings. Now suppose you are one eating the liver of a pig. You're ingesting this parasite. So the man asks, well, what are those diseases? The man responds, if this parasite is present in the lungs, it may cause pneumonia. If it is in the air tubes, it causes suffocation. And if in the intestines, it causes intestinal obstruction or acute pancreatitis. That's inflammation of the pancreas. Then there is Phonorchiasis, a peculiar liver disease. The liver becomes enlarged, accompanied with severe jaundice, diarrhea, and emaciation. This disease could be fatal. Medical science, in spite of its strenuous efforts, has not yet been able to produce any specific treatment for it. Complications caused by this disease are stone formation in the liver and cancer. Now, I read in some medical book where parasites are a big cause of cancer. Did you know that? Parasites can cause cancer. Some of you don't want to believe that. So I asked you, why is there so much cancer in this world? The pig wouldn't be the only one of the parasites, but parasites do cause cancer. And there's other things that cause cancer. But we're just focusing on this. You see? So the man asked the question, are there any more diseases connected with pork? The man responds, yes. There are erysipelas and endemic hemiptysis, which is bleeding of the lungs. And another one, brucellosis, or swine abortion. And the man asks, what is erysipelas? The man says this disease is caused by the germ erysipelothrix. Brucellosis, This disease occurs in acute and chronic form. The symptoms of the acute form are chiefly high fever and reduced activity and appetite. It usually brings rapid death. Chronic erysipelas causes sloughing of diamond-shaped areas of the skin, and there is a residual damage to the joint surfaces and the heart valves, which may cause lameness and or sudden death. And the details may be seen in Chambers Encyclopedia of 1968 edition, volume 10, under Pig, and in the American People's Encyclopedia of 1960, volume 15, under Pig. See? Let's see how many of you want to stop eating this pork. You want to hear more? Let's continue. So the man asked the question, what is its connection with pig? The man responds, according to the Chambers Encyclopedia, this bacteria can survive for long periods in the soil and is also found in the body of some 30% of all healthy pigs. Now, I don't know what's so healthy about pigs, but they say healthy pigs, okay? I guess those are the ones still running around oinking. Thus, eradication is impossible, and overt disease is not a simple matter of infection. And what is more troublesome is the fact that the same bacteria causes the same disease in human beings. Thus, anybody eating pork, taken even from a healthy pig, is in danger of the above-mentioned disease and death. The said encyclopedia says that the same organism causes erysipelas in man. So, something to think about. So the man asked the question, now I see the wisdom of the Islamic law forbidding pork. In fact, I am very much alarmed by these disclosures. Will you please now explain to me endemic hemphysis? This is another one. As I told you earlier, the man responds, it means bleeding of the lungs. This disease is quite common in China, Japan, Formosa, and countries where the consumption of pork is predominant. And, you know, they eat a lot of pork in China. There's some pork eaters there. I thought they only ate rice. No, they eat pork, they eat dogs, and a whole lot of other stuff. Yes, you watch those programs on TV. See some of the stuff that they cook. I don't know how the heck anybody can eat something like that. You know what's disgusting also, before I continue? What's that program on CNN that this man travels all around the world? I can't think of the name of the program right off the bat of my head. And he goes to these different countries, and he samples all the different dishes that they cook. Some of the most disgusting nonsense I've ever seen. Now, these people who live in those countries, they're used to that. Here's this man, European, going around sampling all this food. Oh, this is good. I'm like, you know, he must have a pretty strong stomach. I'm pretty sure sooner or later something's going to happen. Not wishing nothing on the man, but the stuff is disgusting. But anyway, I'm sure many of you have seen this program on CNN. It comes on at night. Anyway, let's move on. Okay. So these are the people who eat this pork in these Asian countries. And he says, patients having this infection suffer from cough with rusty sputum. You hear that? Rusty sputum. And have repeated attacks in the form of profuse bleeding of the lungs. As these diseases are rampant in countries where humans live in close association with pigs, it can be deduced that the pigs are the carriers of the infection. The disease is, however, absent from countries where pigs are rare. You hear that? Where pigs are rare. You can hardly get any find this disease. So the man asked the question, and what is the swine abortion? The man responds, its scientific name is brucellosis. The American People's Encyclopedia, Volume 15, under pig, says, brucellosis, or swine abortion, is important not only because of hog losses, but also because the disease may be contacted by man. In the hog, brucellosis causes abortion and sterility. The disease is difficult to diagnose and practically impossible to cure. Disposal of infected animals is recommended. Disposal, that means to get rid of them. In short, the pig, as the supreme germ carrier, is the cause of many serious and fatal diseases, among them being dysentery, strychnosis, tapeworm, roundworm, hookworm, jaundice, pneumonia, suffocation, intestinal obstruction, acute pancreatitis, enlargement of liver, diarrhea, emaciation, stone formation in the liver, cancer, anemia, high fever, hindrance of growth development in children, typhoid, lameness, heart trouble, abortion, sterility, and sudden death. I do not know of any other animal carrying so many and so deadly bombs as to wreck the human body. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Think about that. Well, my mother and father ate. Oh, good for them, it's good for me. All right. Keep eating those parasites. It will catch up to you. I'm telling you, the piggy don't lie. All right. Now the man asks the question. Now I am fully convinced that pork is not a food, but a package of poisons. Still, I've heard many people saying that nowadays pigs are raised in hygienic conditions and fed with clean food, and that they are quite different from their forefathers who ate human dirt and soil, and that their meat is not a danger to health. The man responds, all the statements of the doctors quoted above or about those very pigs who are raised in hygienic conditions and are still carrying the germ. Those are the findings of recent time based on experiences of modern pig raising. And still you must have marked such statements as follows. Balanitidium coli is extremely common in swine. Recent surveys reveal of incidence an incidence of 21 to 100%. It is only in pig raising countries that this disease is common. 1 in 6 people in USA and Canada have worms in their muscles eating pork. Which one of you are the 1 in 6? No one is immune from this disease, and there is no cure. Neither antibiotics nor drugs or vaccines affect these tiny, deadly worms. There is still no way of killing the parasite Paragonimus in the tissues. Neither has anyone found a method of expelling them. medical science, in spite of its strenuous efforts, has not yet been able to produce any specific treatment for it, and that's chronogiasis. And the other one, this one's a hard one, erysipelothrix is found in the body of some 30% of all healthy pigs. Thus, eradication is impossible. Today, all pig farms are run on so-called hygienic principles. But still, the result is the same as it was centuries ago. Still, let us, for the sake of discussion, accept that a time may come in the distant future, perhaps, when drugs may be found to counteract the ill effects of the germs and parasites carried by pigs. But even then, it will not sanction the use of pork as a diet, just as the discovery of snake bite serum does not sanction us to put our finger in the mouth of a cobra. In conclusion, I am really very much perturbed by these observations. I find that there is truth in what you have said. I agree that pork is extremely harmful to the health, no matter how hygienic the conditions in which pigs are kept nowadays. I promise, this is that gentleman speaking that was asking the questions, I promise that from now on I will never take pork, bacon, or anything connected with a pig. I know that breaking a habit is a very difficult thing, but I hope that by my strong will and the help of God, I will succeed in my resolution. And the man responds, yes, I am sure God's help will always be available to you if you genuinely want to obey his command. May God be with you. Wasn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? This is something that everyone should take heed of. Pig is just not good for you. And I always say, a lot of this red meat is not good for you. If you have to eat red meat, brothers and sisters, make sure is raised organically. Make sure it's grass-fed. Make sure it's halaled. You understand? Slaughtered properly. Then you can partake of it, but don't go overboard eating meat. Your body wasn't made to handle so much meat. Too much meat is unhealthy. It makes you sluggish. It takes the blood from your brain to your digestive system to try to break that down, to try to digest that. Slows you down. You see, you have a long intestine, so it takes a long time to break that stuff down. But you can imagine with the pig. You see, you can imagine with the pig, with all the parasites. Those parasites stay in your muscle tissue, brothers and sisters. It's not going nowhere. How many of you have been eating pig for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years? Some of you are slow. Some of you have all kind of disease, ailment. How do you think your condition would be had you not eaten the pork? Like many people who have not eaten it, that look very energetic, very healthy, not complaining about ailments. I mean, just think about it. You see? Just think about it. What's wrong with vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and grains? Real food from nature? What's wrong with that? You think about it. Body, more fiber. Meat does not contain fiber. That's why it's so hard to break down. You see? No, there's no fiber there. There's no water content. Your body needs water. You should drink more water. Stop drinking all the soda. Drink water. You're made up of 75 to 80% water, so your body needs water, H2O. Okay? Drink more of that. And you'll see how a lot of your ailments will dissipate just by drinking water. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. There's a good book by Dr. Batman Gallich, I believe his name. It's called The Body's Many Cries for Water. The Body's Many Cries for Water. Get that book. You will be amazed of how water alone can heal a lot of your problems. Yes, water. Not soda, not beer, not Kool-Aid, or any of those artificial drinks that you drink, which are very destructive to your body. Water, the staff of life. Okay? Oh, and speaking about water, I was reading. You know, many women, especially in the African-American community, suffer what we call lupus. You heard of lupus. I know many of you know what lupus is. Probably some of you listening now have lupus. But it was shown that one of the main causes of lupus is chlorinated water. Yes, chlorinated water. Some of you drink that chlorine water right straight from the tap. Most of you bathe and shower in chlorinated water. You can just inhale the chlorine gas. Just taking a shower, you can ingest so much chlorine just by breathing it. I suggest anybody listen that you put a shower filter on your shower head to eliminate the chlorine. Stay away from swimming pools that use chlorine. Because even swimming pools that use chlorine also can cause MS, multiple sclerosis. Yes, this is a known fact. So watch out for chlorine. It's very deadly. It's a poison, poisonous gas, you see? So I just suggest those things to you. It is very important, brothers and sisters. Now, we finished with the oink oink, piggy wiggy, okay? Hopefully you'll leave him alone. Give him a break. Maybe if nobody wants to eat it, they'll eliminate all these pigs and we don't have to worry about them no more. Now, I must admit, they're very good at garbage disposal. Now, I give them credit for that. They can eat some garbage. Maybe just leave them out there to eat garbage. You see? And you know, anybody out there eat pig feet? Oh, yeah, I know some of you out there eat pig feet. You know the pig foot that you find in those jars, those nasty-looking things in the supermarket? I don't know how anybody eats it. That there's a sewer system right in the feet, by the hoof of those pigs. All that pus and everything runs through. But you go and you buy you some pig feet, and you're eating all that mess. Pig feet. I mean, what is it on a pig that they don't eat? Huh? Anybody eat fried pigtails or something? If you could catch the oink, you would probably eat that. I'm not trying to make a lighter thing. I'm just trying to make you think. The pig is nasty, period. If God says don't eat that pig, why do you eat it? Question your pastor, your reverend. Ask him why you eating pig, when your scripture says not to eat the pig. Don't let him give you a flimsy excuse. I just gave you those quotes from the Bible. Brothers and sisters, I gave it to you straight from the Bible. What? Is God lying? Huh? You believe in that scripture? Is God lying? Talk to me. Or you just don't want to listen to truth because you love your bacon. You love your ham hocks. You love your chitlins. You love your ham during the holidays especially. There's a lot of pigs that are slaughtered around the holidays. You see? Yes. Anything and everything off the pig. They even use, listen, especially those who claim they don't eat pig. Do you know the hair of the boars? The boar is a pig. They use to make hairbrushes. Yes, those bristles, they call it bristle. You look up bristle. It's about pig hair. The bristles of a pig from his skin, from his hair. That's what you brush your hair with. If you're not using a nylon or some other substance, you're using pig to brush your hair. Yes. And some of you wear pig and don't even know it. You know those leather-looking like coats and jackets? You look at some of that stuff and you think it's leather. It's pig. You can tell because there's these little holes all through the skin of that leather jacket or whatever. That's when you know it's pig. So you might be wearing pig. You see? I mean, these are just things you need to know. There's pig in cosmetics. There's pig in vaccines. And I've told many Muslims, do not vaccinate your children. Not only because of the pig, but because of the damage of the vaccines. But the vaccines have pig in it. You say you don't want pig in the system. Get you a religious form, which you will probably find in your state. New Jersey here has religious exemption forms, which you can fill out. Take it to your school where your children go. Hand it to the teacher. Let them know my children are not to be vaccinated and are not vaccinated. And they have to accept it by law and allow your children in school. Most states have that. Check with, you know, the legislatures or whoever to find out if they have this. Go on the internet. You can find out which states have these religious exemption forms. Because you don't want your children having this disease in their body. You see? My children not vaccinated. Well, one of them did get vaccinated before I found out about this stuff. That was limited. My grandchildren have never been vaccinated, none of them. Just as healthy as they want to be. Not suffering from all these problems. Will not allow it. Their parents have educated them on that. When they go to the hospital to deliver, they let those doctors and nurses know, do not stick them with any vaccine. And they have to respect that. You see? And don't even put those drops in their eyes. Have to respect that. You don't know what they're putting in there. You don't know. Oh, it's to help the eyes. No. You question things. What is that? What are you putting in there? Or what are you about to put in there that I may not want? Think about it. Don't allow your children to be guinea pigs. Don't let these doctors talk you, or the pediatricians talk you into giving your child these vaccines, because the majority of pediatricians do not vaccinate their own children because they know of the dangers. So why should you have your children vaccinated if he doesn't have his vaccinated? And they will lie to you too. I know this for a fact. Don't be fooled. You see? You don't know what they're putting in your children's bodies nowadays. It's already bad enough with the food. A lot of this food is nothing but poison and garbage that's not even fit for human consumption. But you eat it anyway. Learn to eat the proper foods. Stay away from anything artificial, man-made stuff. Good for the body. I know some of you got to have something. Well, you got to have something. Make it a rare event. But don't make it a habit. Okay? Learn how to make healthy meals, healthy desserts. Once you start doing that, you'll never go back to the old ways. You will say goodbye to Mr. Pig, probably Mr. Cow, and even Mr. Lamb, or Miss Lamb, and even the chicken you may not want no more. You see? Yes. You may not want it no more. And you may feel a whole lot better. You see? Pork. Everybody on the planet should leave that alone. And don't eat reptiles, snakes, and all this nonsense. Huh? Don't eat carnivorous animals. Animals that eat other animals, you shouldn't be eating none of that. That's why half this world is crazy now with the nonsense they eat. Learn how to eat in a civilized manner with good, healthy food that God provided for all of us. He provided the best of foods for us. We should all be seeking the best, not the worst of foods. But many of you don't care what you put in your system. So when you develop cancer, when you develop heart disease, when you develop arthritis, when you develop diabetes, when your kidneys grow on you, when you get your feet amputated or limbs amputated, think about what was said here. Think about it. Make the change before you reach that level. Save yourself from the torment. Please, brothers and sisters, learn how to eat properly. I'm begging you, change for the better. Don't listen to ignorant people or ignorant doctors or ignorant whomever who want you to just do what you want to do. It's your body. Eat it whatever you want. Don't listen to guys like this Rashad Elamin person. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a quack. Yeah, you the duck, not me. But anyway, brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening. I pray to God you all got something out of it. Please share this information with your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, and your family. Believe me, it will be a benefit to all. Again, I thank you. Till next week, peace and blessings. Enjoy your evening. May God be with you all and grant you all excellent health. Assalamu alaikum.